You are listening to the Wells Tech Podcast, where we talk about technology that can serve the church and its work of spreading the gospel. Wells Tech is a part of the Podcast Network on Streams, the internet media site sponsored by the Wisconsin Evangelical Lutheran Synod. Join the conversation by visiting our podcast website at wellstech.wells.net. You're listening to the Wells Tech Podcast for Wednesday, July 28th, 2010. This is episode 142, Wells Tech Road Trip, Houston, Texas. It's time again for another edition of the Wells Tech Podcast. My name is Martin Spriggs, and I've been your host for these some 142 episodes. And right alongside, Sally Draper from Sleepy Eye, Minnesota. Good morning, Sally.
Good morning, Martin. Happy to reconnect after a long hiatus for us. We did a lot of recording in preparation for our final web training week, and Now we've passed that milestone, had a great week of training, and happy to be back in the recording seat.
Yeah, any of our listeners that were in final web training, hopefully that was beneficial to you. And we had a great class here in Milwaukee of a mix, pastors, teachers, lay leaders in the congregations and schools, and a lot of excitement about web development right now, and I think schools and churches, I think they're getting the hint that this is kind of an important part of ministry.
Yeah, and it's always great to get together with those folks and learn from them, Martin. I don't know about you, but
every time.
Lots of great ideas.
Yeah, every time, and then we always come up with good suggestions for the good folks at Final Web too. So they probably don't look forward to the time where we have classes because we come back with all these ideas. But good stuff. We'll have to plan another one in the future. I think those are popular, and it's good to see. We are continuing our road trip this summer. I've had a good time, Sally. I don't know about you. We've gone all over the country, and we're going down south today to Houston, Texas, way down south, and talking to Sally Valesky at, where is Sally? Abiding Word Lutheran Church in Houston, Texas. She's at the pastor's wife there, but also the administrative assistant, and for the show's purposes, she is a user, kind of a power user, of a church management software package called Shepherd Staff.
Yeah, Martin, you and I had contact with Sally a few years ago when she attended one of our Shepherd Staff classes that we offered online. And I know that she has taken that information and been back in touch with me over the years, you know, with various questions and things about Shepherd Staff. And she's doing some really exciting stuff with it. So we thought it would be good to give our listeners some ideas for their own church management software.
Yep, and as you'll hear in the interview, there were a number of tips, I think, for anybody using any kind of church management software, but I think the overriding theme is it's important to get organized. There are, even if you're a smaller church, but certainly as the church grows, it's important to kind of keep track of who's there and attendance and activity and the time and talent stuff, and then also use that same database as a prospect database. So there's great reasons to use that, certainly for communication purposes. If you want to send out emails, if you want to send out letters, even personalized letters, a database is really a must-have these days.
That's right, and I think Sally's done a great job of using it consistently. That's a big rule with database management.
You have to be dedicated.
Make your decisions and then use it consistently throughout. So you'll hear some great results of things they're doing at Abiding Word in this interview.
So let's listen to our conversation with Sally Valesky from Abiding Word in Houston, Texas. Joining us today on the Wells Tech Podcast is Sally Valesky, member of Abiding Word in Houston, also pastor's wife. Good morning, Sally.
Good morning.
How are you today in beautiful, probably sunny Texas, or Houston, right?
Yes, actually, we're in our home that we moved in about 40 minutes north of Houston in Willis, Texas, but it's beautiful here. The sun is shining, and it's nice and warm.
Probably nice. Yeah, that's a nice way to put it, right? Is it 100 or more?
No, generally we get it around low to mid-90s. Mm-hmm. Actually, Austin and Dallas have a little hotter than we do, but okay. We enjoy our humidity here, too.
And you've been there yeah. quite some time, right?
Yes, actually 28 years now.
Mm-hmm. And maybe tell us a little bit more about yourself. I know you've done some work with LWMS and a few other things before we jump into the topic of the day, which is your use of shepherd staff. Tell us a little more about Sally.
Actually, I was trained as an art teacher, but have enjoyed very much working as administrative assistant in the church since 1992. Mm. I did have the privilege of serving as vice president with the Lutheran Women's Missionary Society, and that was a huge, wonderful experience. I've traveled a bit through Steve's world mission experience, having been on the board for 15 years.
That's right.
And currently serving with the Women's Ministry Committee now, the newly formed committee, and I'm chairing the Congregational Ministries team, where we are looking at and encouraging different ministry models and working to set up a network of women contacts for just kind of exchange of information.
You have no shortage of things to keep you busy, it sounds like.
Well, it's all a big learning curve.
That's right. Well, that's what keeps it interesting.
It's all by God's plan, yes.
Right, exactly. Well, we appreciate you taking the time. The topic that we wanted to talk to you about is church management software. And you have adopted Shepherd Staff, which is a program that we've recommended to many congregations. But we felt that some of your uses of it might be worth sharing with other folks. And maybe you can tell us a little bit about the history behind Abiding Word's use of Shepherd Staff, how long you've been using it, what type of needs does it fill, the modules you use, those kinds of things.
Yes, we did have it introduced maybe about 5 years ago. Actually, we've got a tech person on site. Shelley Johnson has helped us considerably, and we did look at a couple of other programs, but we did decide on this one. We felt that having the fit was better, of course, with our Lutheran church setup, that type of thing. It fits well with the membership acts and that sort of thing. In 2000, Shelley brought all of us through a training period, all of us on staff, and then I was able to take the extra training that you offered through Wells Tech in, I guess as we said, maybe 2008, and that was considerable for me. I would say the first couple years I worked with it, but I'm not that tech savvy, and it takes me a while. I can do self-learning, but it takes me a while. So I really benefited from the training. And I have been working with the membership module mostly.
Okay. So we understand you use a lot of different modules there, but your emphasis, like you said, is membership. Has it had a specific impact on your ministry there at Abiding Word? As you use it, are there certain things that you've begun to rely on, or maybe regular reports that your boards or pastors like to see from the software?
Yes, definitely. It allows me to work electronically where I've got all of our membership, of course, any new membership that comes in, and I can export an Excel sheet, and every month after the elders meeting, whatever membership action was taken, or the voters meeting, the quarter voters meeting, people expect, I've got a list of a number of people who automatically get this list, our teachers, the elders, the women's leadership. And they're all on that group email, and then are up to date immediately. and we can carry that directory around. Obviously, the printed directory goes out pretty quickly. And, I mean, we can install it whatever other mobile device we might have. That's one aspect. I'm also asked quite a bit by different groups for age. It's probably more age appropriate. The parameters that you can set for any of the ages are school, kindergarten, for those going into kindergarten, who are the 3 and 4 year olds, and you can right away set the parameters and send out that subgroup, the Lutheran Youth for Christ, any of these. We've got a 50s group going now, and it's great. You can attach whatever information to it if you just want a list of names with their ages, which of course we would keep very confidential, but for those of us who would be interested, and then the attaching their phone number or giving the whole address, and you can just print out labels from it. That has been huge. Recently now the elders have been looking at some of those age groupings too, some of those different groups that they're working with.
It just makes me excited to hear all the versatility, you know, that the database gives you once you know how to extract the data in all those different ways. So you're speaking my language, Sally. That's good stuff.
I'm not sure I'm using all the terms right, but I'm glad you can interpret for me.
Yeah.
Are there multiple people that use the software, Sally, or is it primarily yourself?
Actually, we do have our finance. Our treasurer uses it, as well as our financial secretary. Mm-hmm. They manage that, and I'm sorry that I don't have information from their end of it as well. I was able to speak to our former financial secretary, and he did have some initial training, but I think they could benefit more from having an online learning the same way I did with the membership module. Mm-hmm. The asking, having the tech support available that they could ask some questions, because I know they had a few things that they were working through.
Right. Have you used the Shepherd Staff technical support phone number and the call center that they have there in St. Louis?
Yes, I have. We do have a subscription for the extended or the annual support, I believe it is. Mm-hmm. But I very much appreciated the group that Sally set up,
right,
here, that both of you set up for, mm-hmm, those of us who did take the class, and we could send out questions. I know I had some for advancing classes, getting that reset, mm-hmm, in the membership module, and things like that really help. The thing with that is that you don't have those questions very often, and it might be a year and a half later where something comes up.
Right.
But it still is very useful having you as a resource.
Mm-hmm. That's nice. And Sally, when we corresponded before recording this, you were nice enough to share with Martin and I a survey that you guys put together. You've begun using the activity, skills, and training portion of the membership module, which is where you can keep up with what people enjoy, what they're good at, how they've served in the past, how they might be interested in serving in the future. And you put together a really awesome survey that we're going to be able to share with our listeners, a great example for anyone who's looking at kind of a time, talent, treasure kind of look at your congregation. Can you tell us a little bit about that survey process and how it's worked out for you and how you've used Shepherd Staff in the process?
Yes, the light bulb that went on just from the way Shepherd Staff is set up, by having the skills portion of that, the activities part tells what we as a church do. The skills part really is the critical thing that we had never really explored as well as we should have. That's asking, what gifts do you have? How has the Lord gifted you? And that's really what the person knows about. I think too often we were sending out time and talent surveys saying, here's what Abiding Word has to offer. And as a new member, they really don't even know. And this way, with the skills portion, we've adjusted that on that survey. We want to listen. We really want to get to know you. And in that process, then we can help plug in, well, you know, if you like to cook and be in the kitchen, then here's an opportunity to serve on one of our serving circles. If you enjoy meeting new people and telling about Jesus, consider being on our evangelism outreach team. And I thought that was a big step for us in kind of relearning that process. So now, having set up that survey, we tried to match it so that we could effectively set up the tab, the activities, skills, training tab. And that took a little bit of a process to make sure that the questions we were asking would be something that we could plug in. And I think with this survey, we've gotten it pretty close. And one other lady now is doing that entering when we're getting those surveys back. But I guess on the side, too, I don't know if I mentioned that is one feature of Shepherd Staff that makes it where you can very, very much customize it to however you want it.
And it looks like you did this via a paper process where you distributed this on a weekend or weekends services, or did you mail this out and then you're asking them to bring this back and put it in a basket at church, right?
Well, actually, we had the hard copy available last fall was the kickoff for our rally day, our kind of fall Every Member Back event. And then we've used it since. But also what we really did, even before Rally Day, we put together that same survey, but unformatted so that we could send it out electronically through our Abiding Word Announce. And that was where they would just reply back in the email. We did attach this as a PDF. If they preferred to fill it out in hard copy, then we had the basket there. Otherwise, they could just do it completely all electronically.
And how did that go? What kind of response did you receive?
We did pretty well. I'd say that we had about 60 or so returned, and we've got close to 400 communicants. So as you can see, there's a huge gap there that we're still trying to reach.
Right.
But the thing that we want to do also is keep this going and I think emphasize with people that even though they might have filled it out, things change. Their life changes. Maybe there are different things that the church change, has to change. And so it can be something that can be repeated, and to encourage them to look at it a second time.
Right. I really love the way this is laid out, the getting to know you on the first page and the getting to know Abiding Word on the second page makes a lot of sense. It's a little less threatening and a little less like, if you put this on, we're just looking for warm bodies to fill roles. There's a personal touch to this that I really like.
Oh, thank you. It was a joint effort. Our vicar and our new member welcome team and our elder, we had quite a few meetings to get that all to work, and then to get the electronics part of it to work.
I can imagine.
Well, we have really enjoyed talking with you, Sally. I understand that there's lots of people with their hands in the Shepherd Staff software doing specific functions across your congregation. Sounds like a real success story there, and we'd love to stay in touch and hear about other ideas that you have in the future.
Well, thank you. Yes, we're just considering working into the attendance module, and I think now we have a second pastor who was just installed, Mark Tiefel, and hopefully, when with our deaconess, Marilyn Miller, that we can be setting up the visitation module. We haven't made use of that, but those may be future goals.
Wonderful. Very good. I think Shepherd Staff is a great tool in the life of an active congregation like Abiding Word. Thanks so much for taking the time out, and continued blessings on your work there and your husband's work there, and may the Lord bless your ministry.
Thank you, and certainly the same to you.
Thanks. Sally, both you and I are Shepherd staff users, and Sally has, I think, is probably even more experienced than we are. There's a lot of power in that package.
Absolutely, and I was so excited when Sally emailed me her time and talent survey that they did there at Abiding Word. So we'll be able to include a link to that PDF document, and I think many of our listeners will appreciate having that as a resource to possibly develop their own time and talent surveys.
Yep.
And you know, Martin, we've talked briefly about a new series possibly in the fall. We may kind of focus in on those church secretaries and administrative assistants more, and hopefully generate some more of that kind of file sharing where we can see different ideas for newsletters and other things that are going on in the church office and be able to share those more.
Yep, absolutely. Yeah, I immediately shared Sally's PDF with our church staff as a suggestion that we maybe use that at Peace to collect time and talent information. I just like the layout and the way some of the questions were asked. So very cool, and thanks for sharing, Sally. Thanks for your time as well. Let's move on to our picks of the week.
And my pick of the week is directly related to my final web training that I just completed. One of the discussions we had was having great imagery for your website. And as usual, then that discussion turns to where do I find great imagery for my website. And I have a couple of stock image sites that I wanted to share on today's show. The first one is called Stock Exchange. It has kind of a strange URL. It's actually a company or a web presence out of Hungary, so it's sxc.hu is the web address for it. And this is a place where I found a lot of great stock imagery. You search there, and it's integrated with iStock Photo, so you see a mixture of results, things that you can pay for, so it teases you a little with some really great imagery that's fee-based. But then there's also available free imagery that people have shared there. And typically, most of it is royalty-free. They ask you to maybe leave a comment on the page as to how and where you're planning to use the resources. But you need to read the fine print, make sure that you're in compliance with whatever they're asking for there. They may want attribution or whatever, you know, this is where I got the photo, this is the creator of this image or whatever. Very easy to use. You can get nice high-res imagery if you sign up for an account. You get access to downloading some pretty nice size imagery that you can use on your website. So check out Stock Exchange. And then just recently I came across two more that I wanted to share. One's called Comp Flight. And it is, I have the website up here, it's compfight.com, so not flight, but fight. Comp Fight. And that is actually a Flickr image search. So those of you that are familiar with Flickr, it's an online photo sharing website, and basically they've built a search engine to look at Flickr, but what's nice about it is Flickr has Creative Commons built right into it, Creative Commons being the way people can designate.
That's a rather recent addition to Flickr, as I understand.
Right. Yep. Designate the copyright legalities of the images that they're uploading. And so you can narrow your search with Comp Fight to just images that are available for commercial use or images that have Creative Commons designation on them. And then you get just a really nice image result. You can drill down to the image, read the legalities again. You know, they may want attribution. They may or may not allow you to do derivative works of the image, but it's all right there for you. And then the last one that I want to share is called iconfinder.com. And with Icon Finder, you can find icons for your website. It says there are 176,000 icons available and 603 icon sets. And here again, you just do a search. And once you get your search results, then you can narrow things by Creative Commons as well. So maybe if I search on podcast on Icon Finder, I get a list of icons, and there's a drop down there that says no license filtering versus allowed for commercial use. And so you can limit it to things for commercial use if you want to make sure you're within the realm of copyright that would allow it to use on your website or whatever. Mm-hmm. And then what's neat about this site is you can get different sizes of the icons, and you can get them either with a white background or a transparent background. It's just really flexible in that regard. So easy to use and very versatile. Lots of icons out there for you to make use of on your websites. So there you go.
Very
three
nice.
Great resources for stock imagery.
Three-pack picks of the week. All around imagery. I think if you can say it, one general rule of thumb for web design is I think if you can say it in a picture, you should. Rather than being real text heavy, given the short attention spans of the citizens of today, it's probably a good idea to spruce that website up with communication tools that make use of imagery. And if you do that, they should obviously be images that are worth looking at and make a statement. And those look like three awesome resources.
You can say it with an image, as you were saying, Martin, but you can also add text on top of imagery as long as they allow for derivative works.
Right. Yep, absolutely. Very good. So a lot of bonus picks there. So I'm going to have my own bonus pick as well, if that's okay. My pick, my main pick, is a series of blogs, or essentially a website of different sub-sites that talk about technology in different kinds of church contexts. The website that I'm referring to is called 8bit.io, A-B-I-T.io. Some of you may be familiar with a website called Church Crunch. That's a website that I frequent and I have in my RSS reader. But that is one of the, I think, six properties related to this site called 8bit.io. And Church Crunch is one that focuses on just general web news, web applications that are coming out, services, technologies, new blogs, strategies, that kind of stuff. But they have a whole bunch of others that I think would be helpful depending on what you do in your particular church. There's one called Church IT, so they're focusing on software, hardware, networking, those kinds of things. There's one called Church Create, which obviously focuses on art and design and video and audio engineering, that kind of stuff. There's one called Church Drop, which focuses on mobile devices, web apps, those kinds of things. Church Code, which is for those who do software programming, of course. Church Loop, which is a job board. And finally, what they call Human Error, which is more just general blog posts from the founders and creators of this website. So I found the articles really well written and really timely. So you can read these series of websites, and I just subscribe to them via Google Reader, and you've pretty much got what's going on in the church technology landscape. It's I think nicely designed and well-authored material. So 8bit.io.
Boy, that does have a lot to it. I didn't realize that there was more than just Church Crunch. Mm-hmm. So thanks for pointing me to those feeds. I'll have to get busy doing some more reading.
Good stuff. And the quality, again, is pretty high. I've been really pleased with what I'm seeing there. My bonus pick is a previous pick we've had and we've talked about many times, but this came up big time in our final web training, and that was a whole conversation about the value of Google Calendar. I know, Sally, you use Google Calendar, I think, on your church for your church and your church mm-hmm. website. And I use it personally for kind of family coordination of schedules, which is really getting complicated now. My youngest daughter is now working, and my son is working, and obviously my schedule and my wife's schedule. Trying to coordinate all that and who needs what car when and what evenings are free to do some scheduling around that. It is just really hard to do that. And Google Calendar makes that really simple. And by extension, this really, I think, would be a good tool for a lot of churches and schools to consider using if you've got multiple schedules with multiple people and the ability to slice and dice the information, then ultimately pull it out and post it on a website based on what calendars you want to see. So you could say, just show me the church, just show me the school, show me church and school activities, throw in youth group activities. If you have multiple pastors or a faculty that all maintain different schedules, you could post those. Lots of different ways to view this, and you can permission it any way you like. And visually, it's pleasing and easy to read as well. And on top of all that, it's a free service, and I think really, really well done. There's lots of options. They've got a whole Google Labs here that you can add different tweaks to it to suit your needs, but I've really found little to complain about. Maybe the only thing, and maybe you've got a workaround for some of this, Sally, one of the only things that I'm not real fond of Google Calendar is the print function, where you have very limited functionality if you want to make this into a paper copy. And that was a subject of discussion in our final web class. You really don't want to maintain two calendars because many people still print the calendar for the newsletter or the Sunday bulletin. So that's still a little bit what I would call kludgy with the Google Calendar approach.
Well, you got me started on Google Calendar. I got lots more to add to what you said, Martin. Just kind of taking off on its functionality, you didn't specifically mention that the calendars are shareable, and that
right.
means that all of your staff can have access to update your church or school calendar or the appropriate people, so that it doesn't have to just go through one person. Mm-hmm. And then obviously, once you've embedded it on your website, all those edits are just real time. As soon as you make them in Google Calendar, boom, they show up on your website without any work on your part. So mm-hmm. I love, you know, real-time aspect of it. It can be very up-to-date. And finally, I love the mobile aspects of Google Calendar as well.
Right.
And I think many of our members are making use of mobile devices and can subscribe to church and school calendars very easily and have it right there in their pocket with them. So just an awesome solution for many, many different ways. Mm-hmm. And yes, you're right. You hit on the Achilles heel of Google Calendar. And when you print those beautiful calendars, the objects run off the screen. They just don't have enough room in those individual calendar spaces to print everything that you want.
Yeah.
A couple of workarounds that we've come up with here at St. John's and Sleepy Eyes, we look at it in agenda view, which is basically a list of calendar events.
Yep.
And we do some screen scraping there to get it into our weekly bulletin and things. So we just highlight and copy from agenda view into the bulletin and then maybe do some cleanup on what we've gotten from the web. And then actually my geeky husband has been working on a Google Calendar. I don't know if he's using APIs or what, but he's been using Google Calendar to feed a macro into an Open Office page
geeky,
so that he builds his own Google Calendar.
Little mashup. Yes.
Yeah. So I told him we got to publish this once it's ready for prime time, and I think he's getting pretty close.
I think there'd be congregations that would pay for that,
yeah,
in fact. So I know some church secretaries who would.
It's a sweet, sweet little plug-in that he's come up with.
All
but,
right.
You know, very obviously you'd have to be an Open Office user. But anybody.
But even just to get it into which tool in Open Office? Just the Write?
The word processor.
Yeah.
Sure. And you could port that to other
mm-hmm.
word processors as
well.
Oh,
for sure. Then you could open that up in Word or whatever and get
the
nice calendar. So very cool.
Yeah,
so that was my bonus pick. So we've given our listeners more than their money's worth today.
Yeah, they're paying us big dollars.
That's right. Well, they are actually giving us their time, which is definitely valuable.
Very valuable.
So we try and make that an enjoyable and valuable experience for them as well, so that when they're done with the podcast, they think, well, that was time well spent. So hopefully we've been able to do that in just some small way. Before we jump into feedback, I've got a job opening announcement. We had a person leave our staff here in the Synod Administration Building in my technology group. And many thanks to Alyssa for the time she spent here. She worked in our web services group, but we're kind of readjusting that position to fill it again, and we definitely need to fill it. And this is going to be more of a programmer position. Many of you are aware that we've rolled out a Synod-wide intranet called Connect, and some of the technologies that are related to that we really need in-house are .NET skills. So .NET or C-sharp programming skills, so the Microsoft tool set. So we're looking for somebody with those skills, kind of a mid-level programmer. But maybe even some open source PHP, Drupal skills would be good to have as well. But primarily it's .NET programmer. If you've got any SharePoint experience, C-sharp experience, that's really what we're looking for. So if you fit that position description, or if you know somebody who does, please let me know. For the right person, we would even consider some virtual work, so you may not necessarily have to be in Milwaukee. So if you are interested or know of somebody, let me know. That would be awesome. And we're looking to fill this as soon as possible.
Sorry, I can vouch for the fact that you'll have a great boss, because I really enjoy working on the technology staff and working with Martin, obviously.
Yep. So let us know. We're looking for that to fill that position ASAP. Community feedback.
Well, we had some. We had a welcome voice on the Wells Tech podcast, someone that our listeners will recognize, and that Gail Potretz called in with a voicemail for us.
So let me play that.
Good morning. This is Gail Potretz calling. I just had a chance to listen to the Road Trip to Fond du Lac podcast, and I wanted to thank Ryan for his words and his faithfulness to putting pedagogy above technology. I was really happy to hear that in your interview, Ryan. And also thank you for the tip on perhaps a good way to get lower grade teachers included in doing a blog, the newsletter idea, incorporating what they already do in the newsletter into a blog to get them going that way, I think is pretty slick. So thanks much for that. And everybody enjoy the last month of summer. Talk to you soon.
Thank you, Gail. And we look forward to having Gail back for our regular or monthly classroom technology conversations. Gail will be back probably in, I want to say, September time frame. So we'll get back into the rhythm of that particular segment on our show, which I know a lot of our listeners enjoy. Thank you, Gail.
Absolutely. We like that educational tie-in with the show always. And in that regard, I'll offer my thanks as well to Ryan. I know Gail did a good job of thanking him for his time on the show last week. Ryan, I'm not sure if we talked about this in our interview with him, but Ryan has a special Wells Tech tie, and that he is a very lucky contest winner on Wells Tech. We've run a few contests in the past, and Ryan won two of them, which is just really ironic and funny. But one of the contests he won, he actually bought some baby gear, because he had a new baby in his house. And in this week's show notes, I want to make sure and include in our community feedback an image of his son, who turned 1 year old, wearing his Wells Tech bib proudly. So check out the link, check out the show notes for our youngest Wells Tech listener and enjoying his Wells Tech bib. You'll like this picture. It's
and
really
you can,
cute.
You can even still see the logo after 1 year's worth of use.
That's right. I think it's a little cloudy, but it's
That's
still there.
Right. So, all right.
And speaking of education ties, we also heard from our tweeting teacher, Jason Schmidt, who is out in Omaha, Nebraska, serving at Gethsemane Lutheran School. And we had interviewed Jason in the month of July as well, Martin. It was probably about 3 weeks ago now that Jason was on the show and talked about smart board resources. And as a follow-up to that, Jason tweeted me to let me know that he has posted a sample Christlight lesson out on a wiki that he works with, the CRCT Wiki, which stands for Curriculum Resources for Christian Teachers. So we're going to make sure to include a link in the show notes. I checked out this sample New Testament notebook file, and he did a really good job. He put together imagery around the lesson, as well as the questions, and they're kind of hidden away so he can reveal the answers in his notebook presentation. So, and then he had even put together some games and things to work on the Bible verses associated with the lesson. So I think it's a great example of how you can use the smart board to do Christlight, mm-hmm. and you'll want to check that out in our show notes.
Very good.
And as usual, Jason shared a few other links that we want to include. One is called Global SchoolNet Home, and that Global SchoolNet website is a way for you to connect with other schools around the world to do some collaborative type projects. So if you're looking for a way to get into a classroom on the other side of the world, then this may be the place for you to check out. And he also gave us a link to Schoolology. And I think I have that one up. But Schoolology is basically a website where you can run an online learning environment, similar to a Moodle-type website. But the interface is a lot more like Facebook, kind of social and community-driven. So if you're looking for that kind of solution, it is a free service, and you'll want to check out Schoolology.com for that.
Very good.
And finally, I included a comment here from my buddy Martin, and so maybe you want to tell us about this link you shared to the future of church websites.
Yeah, this was an interesting article, very short but sweet, from Mediasalt.com, another website that I frequent, and this was a blog posted a couple weeks ago called The Future of Church Websites. And one of the points they're trying to make is that the direction of the design of websites is to the simple, to the single image or a couple images, very sparse on the text, just enough to get the message across, and let people dive in deeper into the site if they are so inclined. But they say too many overwhelming sites and busy pages really just make users confused. And this leads to a higher bounce rate. Bounce rate is something that you can actually find out if you use Google Analytics, how many people come to your site and then leave right away. So they just bounce off the site. They don't dwell. They don't click on any of the links. They just go someplace else, saying this isn't for me. And they give a bunch of examples of church and ministry sites. The way they describe it is doing it right. And as you scroll through all of these sites, they all have something in common, and that's that they're very, based on kind of the article, simple, how they would describe simple. And again, most of them have just very little text, imagery. They're very appealing, of course, but they try and get one or two messages across, and that's it. And I think there's some good advice here to try and keep it simple but visually appealing. And this is a great place to go for some examples of that. So that's, I think we'll put the link in the show notes there from Mediasalt.com. Again, a good website for those people involved in ministry and technology. Their little tagline on Mediasalt is, God isn't bland, the church shouldn't be either. Kind of nifty.
And, you know, this blog article is an excellent example of the kind of website shopper I am, because I can easily just scroll down this article and get that visual from all the screenshots that are included there. I don't do a lot of reading. I just get the impact of the visual, the imagery that's included in the post. Mm-hmm. And I think that's very inductive. That's not the word I'm looking for.
There's some teacher word in there, yes,
it's looking for. It's very telling of the kind of blog readers that we are, that we aren't into the words as much as we are the visual these days.
Exactly.
So, good examples here.
For sure. Yep.
So, we have lots more community feedback. We have a backlog of community feedback, and we're going to be working our way through that in the coming weeks as we've been away. Your comments are always very much appreciated, and we want to make sure we address all of those. So tune in next week for even more community feedback.
Yeah, send us your voicemails. We'd love to play your voicemail on the air, so to speak. So get that all that information on the website, how to join the conversation, so to speak. Next week, we're not sure where we're going next week. We're efforting a couple of different things, but one thing we'd like to do here in this segment is advertise for some districts that we don't have a destination for yet. We don't have anybody in the Dakota, Montana district. who's volunteered to share some ministry ideas, some things that they're willing to share with the class. We don't have anybody from the Western Wisconsin district, as well as Pacific Northwest or Arizona, California. So we really are struggling out west. So if you have an idea or know of some cool and innovative things that are going on within your church or school as far as technology is concerned, let us know. We'd love to make a trip out west.
Even if it's Hawaii, Martin, I'm willing.
That would be Arizona, California. Yes, yes.
There you go.
We've got it. All right, let's close the show with the music of Revelation and their song Agnus Dei from their album More Than Conquerors. Thanks, everybody, for joining us. We'll talk to you next week.
Almighty.